Today is March 8th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 118. It's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AWR at macobserver.com. Shooting us a note.
You know, that shooting sound, the last time I heard just like that, I'm pretty sure I was six. So thanks for that incredible flashback. That was awesome.
You're welcome, I think.
No, totally. Take it as a compliment because just take it as a compliment. Trust me.
I'll do that. So, you know, it's only been a couple of days because we're doing something really bizarre, and that's recording on time here on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but it's because it's true. We have this tendency to not be able to get the recording done when we really want to.
Yeah, but this week we did because no one's traveling and huzzah. So we actually, folks should actually be hearing this starting on the weekend when it should be up.
You know, I think that sounds fantastic. And hey, I'm always up for new things, like getting our podcast up when it's supposed to be up.
Indeed. You know, it was an interesting week with the SDK stuff. So we should probably get down to it.
I think that sounds like a brilliant idea. Apple showed off its iPhone SDK this week and made it clear that its handheld is destined for the enterprise market. The company also landed at the top of Fortune's most admired companies list. Shareholders told Apple they want more control over executive pay. Facebook is considering a move into iTunes territory. And Yahoo and AOL are looking to be bosom buddies.
Apple hosted a special media event on Thursday to show off features from its upcoming iPhone Software Developer Kit, or SDK for short, for the iPhone and iPod Touch. Vice President for iPhone Software, Scott Forstall, said that the SDK will deliver the same APIs and tools that Apple itself uses to develop native applications for the iPhone. Since the iPhone's operating system is OS X and uses the same elements as Mac OS X, meaning Cocoa, the core services, and Core OS, developers will have access to many of the same features on the handheld as they do on the Mac through a version of the Xcode SDK designed for the iPhone and iPod Touch. Developers will have access to all the operating system's core audio and video capabilities, including core audio, OpenAL, audio recording and playback, JPEG, Ping, TIFF, PDF, 2D Quartz, Core Animation, and OpenGL, yes. Raffle Mau.
Raffle Mau. Raffle Mau. We're pulling that Uber with the Uber lead hacks and the prawn with the what the guff with the wuh and Rockster's boxers stomach hacks.
Raffle Mau. Along with the accelerometer and the camera, Apple is calling this the most advanced platform on a mobile phone and that, quote, Apple is years ahead of any other platform for mobile devices, unquote. Developers can download the iPhone SDK for free now.
Apple also announced that it is seriously beefing up the iPhone's enterprise-level muscle and plans to add several features for business users, including push email and Microsoft Exchange support. Senior Vice President of Worldwide Product Marketing, Phil Schiller, said that the iPhone will be able to use Microsoft's Active Sync to communicate with Exchange servers, which is good news for users that want to integrate their iPhone or iPod Touch with corporate data systems. Apple is also adding support for push contacts, global address lists, Cisco IPsec VPN, certificates and identities, the ability to remotely erase lost or stolen iPhones, and more. Apple plans to release iPhone and iPod Touch software version 2.0 with all of these features in June. Qualified companies that just can't wait until June to get their hands on the iPhone's enterprise features are welcome to join Apple's beta test program and start testing the 2.0 software update now.
Developers will need a way to get their applications on the iPhone and iPod Touch, so Apple unveiled App Store, the company system for distributing third-party iPhone and iPod Touch applications. App Store will let users find and install applications directly from their iPhone or iPod Touch over wireless connections or through the iTunes Store and the iTunes application. App Store will let users browse categories that include business, games, finance, lifestyle, health, and more. And once an application is installed, App Store will alert users when updates are available. Features that have been available to hacked iPhones for months through software like installer.app, but that's beside the point. Developers interested in distributing their iPhone and iPod Touch applications will have to join the developer program for $99 US. Distributing an application through the App Store doesn't require any extra fees, although Apple will take a 30% cut from each app sold. Developers can set their own prices, and free programs will be distributed without any costs, hosting fees, or bandwidth charges. Companies hoping to distribute porn apps, malicious apps, or programs that invade user privacy, however, will have to look elsewhere. Mr. Jobs said that these programs are off limits and won't make it to the App Store. Users looking to get their hands on applications through App Store will have to wait until June when the App Store is officially launched.
And Apple managed to land the top spot in Fortune's America's Top 20 Most Admired Companies 2008 list, coming in ahead of other well-known companies that include Google, Starbucks, FedEx, Microsoft, and BMW. Fortune commented, quote, "It is a tribute to its CEO that Apple, which 10 years ago seemed to be headed for the slag heap, is number one on the list. Steve Jobs has always had a knack for weaving magic out of silicon and software, but who knew he could build a $24 billion company on the strength of a portable jukebox and a computer with a single-digit market share," unquote. While Apple ranked high in key areas like innovation, people management, and product quality, it received a low rating in social responsibility. Even so, the Cupertino-based company ranked well ahead of Microsoft's 16th place slot. Fortune added that Steve Jobs' marketing pitch leveraged the iPod's success and was simple. Quote unquote, "Apple products work, and if you buy more than one, they work better."
Huzzah. The Apple shareholders approved the measure on Tuesday, urging Apple to give shareholders an advisory capacity concerning executive compensation. The measure is little more than a request and is effectively non-binding. It follows more direct efforts from some activist shareholders in the past to limit or otherwise give shareholders more direct say in the way the company pays its top execs. The issue of shareholder concern over executive compensation was perhaps at its height during last year's shareholder meeting when votes were withheld for several board members due to a stock option backdating scandal. Shareholders were concerned that the board of directors for Apple was not keeping company executives in check. So far, the vote asking for a shareholder role in executive compensation is the strongest measure passed by Apple's investors.
And the social networking site Facebook is considering moving into the online music service market, potentially bringing it into competition with Apple's iTunes Store. Site representatives began approaching record labels in the past week to discuss the possibility of a Facebook music store. There aren't many details yet about what Facebook's music service might entail, but record label executives expect it could include a free ad-supported music stream, along with pay-per-download songs in MP3 format. Facebook has already added a MySpace-like feature that lets bands build their own promotional homepages and lets bands link to the iTunes Store through a deal with Apple so fans can purchase their music. It's unclear what impact Facebook's plans could have on their membership's music sales, since its own music service would clearly be at odds with the iTunes Store. Should Facebook follow through with the service, record labels will likely see it as an opportunity to try to strip away some of Apple's control over the legitimate music download market.
Yahoo is in talks with Time Warner to help protect itself with a Microsoft or from a Microsoft takeover. The two are discussing a deal that would bring AOL under Yahoo's wing and give Time Warner a minority stake in the combined entity. Apparently, Time Warner is wrapping up a proposal that Yahoo can take to its board of directors, and the deal could save the companies about $1 billion a year. Microsoft presented Yahoo with an unsolicited buyout offer on February 1st for $44.6 billion, but was rejected when the internet search and advertising company said the offer undervalued Yahoo. Big Redmond, in turn, has snubbed Yahoo's snub by continuing the takeover attempt by appealing directly to Yahoo shareholders. Should Yahoo strike a deal with Time Warner in time, it will be able to keep Microsoft from launching a hostile takeover attempt. Microsoft, however, is on the prowl for a company it can use to take on Google in the online advertising market. Having failed to deliver to market a competitive service that anyone cares about. Yahoo has so far been seen as the best bet, which means that the race is on, and Yahoo hopes to win this one on its own terms. Alrighty, that sound means that it's time for the Context Machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. But first, I think this is a good time to mention our sponsor.
Actually, I think you're right. That sponsor being Smile on My Mac Software and their fantastic PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro products.
Yes. Tell us about them, Jeff.
Okay, I can do that. All right, so if you're not familiar with PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro, these are fantastic alternatives to Adobe's Acrobat application. So if you need to go in and manipulate text and images, add notes or comments, merge and split PDFs, reorder pages, you know, all the stuff that people end up having to do with PDFs at some point in their life, this is a absolutely fantastic tool for making that happen without the learning curve that goes along with Adobe Acrobat. And it also costs substantially less. It's $50, I believe, for PDF Pen and $300 for Adobe Acrobat. So, you know, there's a big price difference there.
Yeah, and PDF Pen Pro is $99.95. But right now, our listeners can get 20% off.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's super fantastic. And you can only get it by going to the URL that we're going to give you and that you'll find in the show notes. And that's what, smileonmymac.com/AWR?
That is correct. Yeah.
It is correct. And you'll find that there's 20% off both. So that's, 30 some odd bucks. Or wait, is it 40 bucks? Wow. Our math, we're not looking at the actual page right now, but we can do that, can't we? It's $39.96 for PDF Pen and $75.96 for PDF Pen Pro. This is a good company. These are good apps. We are happy to have them as sponsors, and we'd like you, our listeners, to check them out.
Yep, absolutely. And just in case anyone thinks that these products may or may not be up to snuff, I use PDF Pen Pro all the time. Absolutely love it. And I think it's great that they also have killer customer service support, too. So any problems, give them a call, and they take care of you. It's wonderful.
Yep. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So with that, once again, thanks to Smile on My Mac, let's talk about the big news this week, which is the big STK event that everyone has been waiting for.
Oh, that happened?
Yes, it did.
All right. I was actually really pleased to see this event come off the way it did, because I was worried that Apple was going to present some sort of diluted product. And what they did instead was present what looks to me to be a full-featured SDK for the iPhone, which is exactly what developers need. And they made it very clear that they're making a strong push into the enterprise market with the iPhone, which is great. Although the caveat is we already know what Apple's track record is in the enterprise market, so we'll have to see how well that really plays out.
Yeah, so two things there. First of all, I am delighted that Apple is finally embracing the iPhone as a platform.
Yes.
Which is what they should have done from the get-go. The iPhone is a platform. It is a mobile computer. You know, and finally Apple is not trying to pretend otherwise. And that's a good thing. On the other hand, as we talked about, I think just in the very last, was it the last episode or the episode before that?
If we went on about enterprise problems, that would be the last episode.
That was the last episode. But Apple has worked for decades to show the enterprise market that it can't be trusted.
Yeah, they've actually been pretty consistent with that.
Incredibly hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've delivered this message year in and year out. Don't trust us because we're going to, you know, change what we're doing, and we're going to drop whatever it is that we're doing and you know, maybe add some stuff, maybe be excited about it for a year or two and then be unexcited about it. And I think that Apple's going to have a harder sale for the iPhone because of this, though at the same time, the iPhone is a great tool for a lot of folks in business to use.
It is. Now, one thing, though, that might play in Apple's favor for this whole enterprise market thing is that there are a lot of Windows users out there that are snatching up iPhones and may not be familiar with Apple's enterprise track record, meaning that there's a lot of people that are going to buy in not anticipating any potential enterprise dropout down the road. So, you know, who knows? Apple may really come through on this one and stick with the enterprise market on the iPhone. I certainly hope they do.
Oh, I definitely hope they do, because I think that a lot of money could be made for Apple, and as a tiny, tiny shareholder, you know, that's certainly exciting. Plus, you know, it gets more Apple products into the business space. And again, that can only really, the growth of the iPhone can only be good for the Mac platform, both directly and indirectly.
Right. Right. And okay, and here's one thing that I think shows Apple has, at least for now, more of a commitment to the enterprise market. They went ahead and licensed ActiveSync from Microsoft so that the iPhone can have native Exchange server support. That's a huge thing for the enterprise market.
It is. And although I'm going to quibble yet again, I know it sounds like I'm really hammering Apple here, and it's because I am. You say that Apple has more of a commitment to enterprise, and I think that it would be more reasonable to say that Apple has more of a commitment to enterprise for the iPhone.
Okay, I'll accept that. I think that's fair. Apple has more of a commitment to the enterprise for the iPhone than they do for the XServe or the Macintosh.
Yep, and you know, and it's kind of interesting too. Because of the iPhone and because of the way software is going to work on this thing, this actually may be a better way for Apple to play in the enterprise space, by which I mean upcoming product announcements aren't going to be as important for the iPhone market as they are in computer markets.
Huh, you know, that's a good point, and I hadn't thought of that till just now. So, yeah, I can totally see that.
So, in other words, Apple can maintain its secrecy in terms of hardware development in particular, without that being a problem for IT. IT, generally speaking, wants to have this big roadmap of exactly what's coming out and when it's coming so they can plan and plan and plan and plan and plan and plan and plan. And Apple, of course, doesn't like doing any of those things.
Right.
So here's an opportunity for Apple to get its cake and eat it too. But at the same time, Apple has shown the software, the iPhone software update 2.0, months ahead of time now.
Right.
They've announced it ahead of time and shown it ahead of time. So maybe Apple's even willing to meet enterprise, halfway on what they need to find what they need versus wanting to just maintain that strict secrecy till the absolute last second.
You know, the iPhone is an interesting product for Apple on many levels, but in the enterprise market, I see this as a clean slate device, in essence, where Apple can start over with the IT world and say, okay, you know, yeah, we haven't given you good support with our other products historically, but look, this is brand new, we have a clean, fresh start, and we're going to really show you this time what we can do, and I hope that's what happens here.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Now, that said, my special request for you and Dave Hamilton, our illustrious coworker and Mac Geek Gab host, do not put an Exchange server in place at Mac Observer. Please.
Yeah, not going to happen. Actually, the only reason it would happen would be for testing.
Okay, I could see for testing, but please, not for our mainstream communication system.
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going
to
do it.
Good. All right. I'm going to be able to start sleeping again at night instead of having my exchange server nightmares.
That's good. Now let's talk about the App Store.
Yeah, the App Store. Okay, so the App Store I found to be kind of interesting in that we alluded to this in the news part of the podcast today. Apple is in a way emulating what installer.app does for jailbroken iPhones, which gives you a way to install applications wirelessly. So on one hand, that's absolutely brilliant because to me this is like one of the best ways to be able to get applications. Just go look for it, install it, and use it. You don't need to be around a computer. On the other hand, I look at this and go, all right, is this another instance where Apple is kind of copying someone else's product to do their own thing? And I don't mean that in the Microsoft way, but in the Apple way.
Yeah, but it completely is, but I think it's completely okay. It's an open source project. Installer.app, that is. I'm glad that Apple was able to see something that works, assuming I don't think there's a chance in heck that this was not at all following the installer.app model, to be honest. But I'm glad that Apple saw something that works and is gonna turn around and do the same thing themselves. They're not ruining any commercial products with this.
That's true. They certainly aren't. And it also made sense. It was a logical extension of what Apple is already doing with the iPhone and the iPod Touch, meaning you can download music wirelessly. Why should you not be able to download applications wirelessly? And then turn it around the other way. You can download music through iTunes. Why should you not be able to download applications through iTunes?
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw some criticism that Apple was taking 30% off the top for apps, but that's a lot less than most distributors or storefronts take. And not only that, they're paying for all the hosting and bandwidth.
Yeah, actually, the hosting and bandwidth thing, that I see that and I get very happy, especially because Apple said if you want to distribute an application for free, fine, distribute it for free, and Apple is not going to come back and ding these people for bandwidth, downloads, anything. That's fantastic. Yeah. Very smart move on Apple's
part. It is
part.
Fantastic. It's good for the developers. It's good for Apple. It's great for the iPhone as a platform. I think that everybody wins with this. I think that 30% is a very, very reasonable percentage to charge, considering the fact that Apple is going to give all these developers storefront space that is going to be the this is like prime real estate. I don't know how to say this, but it's prime virtual real estate because you're going to have that access right there. So everybody wins from my perspective, and I'm excited about it and I can't wait to see it.
I'm really looking forward to it. And actually, I've been finding in these past couple of days since the announcement was made that I'm already really getting annoyed at the features I don't have yet, but I know I'm going to have in June.
Mm-hmm. It's only a few months. We can wait.
Yeah, I know, but I want everything, and I want it now.
So, fair enough. Shall we move on to Jokebook? I'm sorry. Did I say that? I meant Facebook.
Yeah, we probably should. Speaking of, I want everything, and I want it now.
A couple of things here. We're talking about Facebook possibly working on having a music store to compete with iTunes. Good luck with that is my first response. My second response is I want to see iTunes have more competition in the realm of DRM-free downloads.
I like seeing competition as well. Now, that said, I'm thinking Facebook is making a mistake, and what I think they would be better off doing is sticking with the model that they have today, which is have this whole front-end thing where musicians can set up their MySpace-style sites and all that, and then link back to the iTunes Store, let Apple do the part that they're really good at, which is handle the music download sales and all that, let Facebook do the part it's really good at, which is the social networking, and have a happy system that works well for everyone. But you're right, having competition is really important, and for that, I look more to Amazon.
Yeah, or something that's not going to be tied to a specific social networking site, something that's open to anyone and everyone, something like e-music.
Sure.
You know, e-music is great competition. And I mentioned the competition bit simply because, you know, I don't think you're going to hear either one of us ridiculing Facebook for this move because we're being protectionist about Apple.
Oh, no, not
you
at
know,
all.
We're not. Yeah, or iTunes. You know, I want competition. I want more competition. I want prices to go down. I want for someone else to figure out an even better way than iTunes to sell music. And quite frankly, that's going to be really super hard. But I want that simply because I like to see that competition. I like to see Apple kept on its toes, because the more Apple is kept on its toes, the harder Apple has to work to come up with you know, better products for us as consumers, and that's good for the marketplace, it's good for consumers, it's good for the platform, it's good for, you know, everybody wins. Well, not everybody, shareholders might not win, but whatever. I don't think that Facebook has a chance in hell of being able to have a music store that anyone's going to care about.
You know, I couldn't have said it any better myself. You're absolutely spot on. Keep the competition coming. Keep Apple and their competition on their toes. As consumers, we are going to win because everyone has to work on better products to stay ahead. And those better products translate into better services for us, better prices for us. And I'm all about better prices for us.
And you know, Facebook, I think it's ironic that Facebook has Microsoft as a minority investor. You know, Microsoft hasn't been able to do anything with the music retailing space. I don't think that the folks at Facebook are going to be able to do anything that's going to be really compelling for folks. And so I think it's going to end up being a joke.
It probably will be. You know, one thing that's really against Facebook and MySpace and all of these other sites that are trying to get into the music download business is that they really are restricted in how they present their music stores, because they have to work completely within the confines of a web browser. And Apple, although iTunes is in essence a glorified web browser that also lets you manage music, Apple has complete control over how that whole thing works. So they can build a more pleasing user experience simply because they're controlling everything from the front end all the way to the back end.
That's absolutely the case. And you say glorified web browser. In reality, it's an unglorified web browser because it's highly specialized. That's what makes iTunes cool as a music store, is that specialization.
Yeah, you're right. The specialization, that is absolutely critical. Most people would have no idea that when they're using iTunes, they're playing with a web browser.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's part of the brilliance of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have to go through Safari or Internet Explorer or Firefox or whatever, you're just not going to be able to have an experience that's anywhere near as good as shopping with iTunes. And I don't know. We'll see where Facebook goes. I hope that they make something that's good.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not holding my breath, and I'm pretty much scoffing. I think this actually may be a case where what's the gentleman's name? Mark Zuckerberg. He's the founder and CEO of Facebook. He has heretofore been very, very cocky in his approach to this business, and he's tended to be right most of the time. You know, he rejected most of the early investment and buyout offers that he received. And, you know, he ended up getting a really good deal for himself, and Facebook is certainly a force to be reckoned with in the social networking space. But I think that he's going to find that this is going to be a tougher nut to crack than he thinks.
Yeah, everyone else has been finding that out, so why wouldn't he find it out as well?
So then lastly, you know, we're going to be introducing a new feature. We probably should have mentioned at the top of the show, but
oh well,
so
surprise.
Yeah, before we get to that though, we should mention the Yahoo AOL deal.
All right, let me start by saying, what's up with me? Why can I not pronounce Yahoo correctly? I mess that up almost all the time. I'm always going Yahoo.
Missouri.
Yeah, it's Missouri. It's got to be it. Yeah.
It's got yeah. But that's okay because it makes me smile.
Okay, well, you know, I'm glad I can make you smile.
Excellent. Oh, so sweet. Be that as it may, it's interesting that the AOL went from being such a big deal that they bought the massive media giant Time Warner to becoming, just pretty much the resulting merge company ended up pretty much mismanaging AOL itself. AOL became increasingly less important. They changed their name back to Time Warner, and now they're wanting to pawn it off to Yahoo.
How about that?
I honestly, AOL might be a good poison pill, which really isn't the correct term to use, since poison pill actually has a very specific meaning in the world of investors.
Right, but it sounds really good here.
It does sound like it might be a good poison pill for them to swallow to make them too big for Microsoft to buy. But I think that the last thing that Yahoo needs is to worry about how to manage an online service like AOL.
Yeah, you're right. And here's what I see if something like this comes together. And keep in mind, I'm probably not the guy you want to call to manage your mega corporation merger. But be that as it may, here I am. What I see as a possibility would be Yahoo dragging in all of this AOL chaff that's out there, and then taking the primary value pieces that AOL has, blending that in with what Yahoo's already doing, and then just kind of blowing off the rest of it. Because AOL's pretty much out of the internet provider service business anyhow. So it would take some time and resources, but Yahoo could blend in what AOL has that still has value.
Yes, that could happen. My guess, though, is that Yahoo is having a hard enough time competing against Google with what they already have. And my guess is that adding a whole lot more to chew on is not the path towards success. It's not the path towards beating Google or even competing with Google.
Right.
And I think it's going to be a big distraction. I think that they're going to find there's a lot of gristle that they have to chew through, and it's just going to be a kind of a big mess. Now, that said, I think that Yahoo's probably a far better company to manage AOL than Time Warner is.
Oh, I would totally agree with you on that. Time Warner is an old school media company. Yahoo is a new school media company, and who better to manage new media than a new media company?
Yep, and let Time Warner go back to doing what it did before AOL came along, and that's managing all that media.
Yeah. Okay, now here's another thing about this whole merger thing. If it comes together, then Time Warner gets a minority stake in Yahoo. And I think that minority...
Well, a minority stake in the resulting merged company.
Right, in the resulting merged company, which might be another tool that Yahoo could use to help continue to stave off a Microsoft takeover.
Okay.
And I say that because if Time Warner gets a say in what happens with this resulting Yahoo company, I just coined that myself. Yahoo.
I like that. I like that. Yahoo.
Yeah. So,
Yahoo.
Sell that to them. Make us both some money. All right. All right. So so. If Time Warner has some type of controlling stake or controlling interest in Yahoo, then that could become a stumbling block for Microsoft as they try to convince shareholders to approve a Microsoft takeover.
Well, let's back up because that's the entire point.
Right.
I mean, the merged company would be too big for even Microsoft to buy.
Right. So, that's a key point for everyone to remember, despite what
gristle is there. Yeah, that's the entire point, though.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, let's introduce our new feature, which is, I don't know that we have a name for it, but let's call it Jeff's Quick Tip.
All right. That'll work for now. And maybe one of our listeners will have a better name for it, and they'll let us know. But the gist of this is what we're going to do is take one of the many quick tips that I write for Mac Observer throughout the week, throughout the months and years, and we will highlight those. And so I thought, since this is the very first time we're doing this, what we ought to do is highlight a quick tip that was inspired by you, Brian.
Sweet.
Yes. So several episodes ago, you had mentioned something about getting music onto the iPod and controlling things. And I said, well, smart playlists. And then that ended up giving us the quick tip we have for today, which is you can control all of the content that you put on your iPhone or iPod through smart playlists. And here's how I use this. What I did was created a series of smart playlists that I have randomly collecting music and then putting it onto my iPod. It allows me to have a subset of music on my iPod, which is nice because my library is far bigger than any of the iPods in my collection. And it's always a random collection of things that I enjoy listening to, so I never know exactly what I'm going to get to hear next. And here's how you would do this. In iTunes, and this works on Windows as well as Mac, so if you have a friend that's using Windows, you can tell them they can do this too. So in iTunes, you choose File, New Smart Playlist, just like you always would. And then you want to choose Match All of the Following Rules, because we're going to have multiple rules. Then you're going to set your first rule to genre. And okay, here's actually a drawback to the way iTunes smart playlists work. You cannot have a bunch of mixed criteria where you can say, I want you to choose from all of these different types of genres and then do this other thing, because all the criteria have to match. So if you don't have a song that's in multiple genres and you have multiple genres in your list, the songs aren't going to show up for you. All right. So,
that makes sense.
Right. So what you end up having to do is make a separate genre smart playlist for each type of genre you want to have. So you make a smart playlist, set the first rule to match all of the following rules. Then you choose genre and then contains and type in a name for one of your genres. For example, blues. And then you need to click the plus symbol so you can add another rule. The new rule you want to set to last played and then is not in the last. And then I put like 2 weeks. So I always am listening to music that I haven't listened to recently. Then you want to set the limit to the... All right, I have to say that again because I'm about to confuse everyone. All right, so now what you want to do is check limit to and choose items in the pop-up field. Change items to megabytes, okay? And that's because you want to limit how many songs actually go onto your iPod by megabytes, because that's how your iPod keeps track of everything anyhow. And then what I did was set, like for my 4 gigabyte iPod, I have a series of 500 megabyte smart playlists. And that way I prevent myself from trying to load more music than my iPod can actually hold.
That makes sense.
Yep. And then I set the selected by option to random. And then I also have live updating on. The reason you do that is because if you add more music to your iTunes library, this smart playlist will automatically update to include new content. When you click OK, there you go. You have a new smart playlist. You can do this for several genres. And then when you connect your iPod, tell it that you want to use only these smart playlists you've just made. And now you have this randomly changing music playlist on your iPod all the time.
That's a very, very, very helpful tip. And you will find a link in the show notes to the original quick tip that this came from.
That's right, which will be great because that way you don't have to sit there and keep rewinding the podcast. I said rewind. You can't rewind a podcast. It's digital. Anyhow, you don't have to rewind your podcast and try and take notes. Just go to our show notes. The quick tip is there. You'll be good.
Yep, and there you have it. Jeff's quick tip of the week. I think that's what we're going to start calling it.
Okay, works for me.
Jeff's quick tip of the week. And with that, let's head out.
Okay. So remember, if you have anything to comment on, add or question, send your audio and text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. And that's all for this week.
As always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Thanks, everyone.